substitute for me if I need him. Last Sunday and today, we have been dealing with lessons coming from the third verse of the book of Jude. Last Sunday morning, we talked about the common salvation, how each one of us needs it, and how Christ provides it for each one of us. And then last Sunday night, we talked about what it means to be diligent and what it means to earnestly contend for something. This morning, we discussed the faith and came to the conclusion that the faith, which is mentioned here in Jude verse 3, is synonymous with the system of salvation, with what we call Christianity, or the scheme of redemption. Tonight, in this fourth lesson, I want us to concentrate on where he says that it was once delivered. In fact, the American Standard Version says, once for all delivered. That little statement, that little part of the statement, is very important. The faith, which is synonymous with the system of Christianity, was being attacked by false teachers at the time Jude was writing. And though he, as we might, wanted to concentrate on the idea of saving people from their sins, he realized that he had to go back and help them to understand the importance of the faith. And if that understanding was not there, salvation would not really be possible. And as he identified that faith, the faith, he said, it was once for all delivered. You might tend to think that that's a little statement, that it's not very important. Why would we pull it out and spend an entire lesson on it? I'm here to tell you tonight that it's very, very important to understand what is meant with that idea of once for all delivered. Concentrate first, if you will, on the idea of the word delivered. Whatever it is that he's talking about, and we've identified that as the faith, it was delivered. It's not uncommon today to hear people say that we can't know the truth, that there is no real system of truth, that there is no absolute truth. And yet, what he's talking about was delivered. There are those who say we've got the Bible, but we can't understand it. And this idea of being delivered is extremely important. In 1 Corinthians 15, Paul was talking about the gospel, which we noticed in Philippians 1:27 this morning as being a part of that faith or being in connection with that faith. He said, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which is preached unto you, which also you have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also you are saved." Notice he said they had received the gospel. He preached it. They received it. It was delivered. It was made available to them, and it was delivered to them. In the book of Ephesians, chapter 3, Paul says in verse 5, "Which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto the holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit." Verse 9, "And to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ." He said there was a time when it was not revealed. There was a time when it was a mystery, shut up in the overall purpose that he describes down in verses 10 and 11. The purpose that went through the patriarchal and Mosaic dispensations and came down to the Christian dispensation to be fulfilled. But notice in the first four verses, "For this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles, if you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God which is given me to you, word, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery as I wrote afore in few words." whereby when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. In the next few days, you students will be taking final tests. I went through that several times. I never was overly concerned about a final test if I believed the professor would use the material that we had covered. If he would stick to the book, and if he had taught it and taught it well to where we understood what we needed to understand, I felt that I could always do fairly well on a test. And I think you can too. But where would you be next week if you went into a class for a final test and there appeared to you a set of questions over something about which you had no knowledge? You had no understanding. It had not been discussed. It had not been revealed. In fact, you'd not even talked about it. How do you think you would do? That's what it would be like if we faced the judgment without revelation. If we did not know what God was going to use as a standard of judgment, think about where we would be and what it would be like. But he says here that this faith has been delivered. It has been revealed. The word dispensation is usually a word that brings to our minds the idea of a period of time, and it has come to represent that. But the word itself comes from the word dispense. And that means to put out, to make available, to make known. And this system of the faith has been dispensed. We live in the Christian dispensation. We're living where the faith, everything about that faith, has been dispensed to us. It has been delivered. We ought to be extremely thankful for that. But then, especially using the American Standard Version, and suggested even in talking about the saints here, what he's talking about, the faith has been delivered for all. Not just a few, but for all. There are some organizations that are secret. They say they have that which can help them to be better, but they will not reveal it to others. Where would you and I be if God's word was like that, or his system of Christianity was like that? That it was only for a special few in most areas of life. We deal with the idea that some people maybe receive some things that others don't. And it's hard for us to have no respect of persons, even in our dealing with one another. But God delivered the faith to everybody, once for all. No wonder John 3:16 talks about it in that sense, that he loved the world. I remember Brother Marshall Keeble quoting the account of the Great Commission in Mark. At a time when there was more prejudice than there is today, and some thought that there were some people that were more important than others, and he said, I'm glad for Mark because he says the gospel is to go to every creature. And I'm a creature. Tonight I'm a creature. And you are a creature. Created in the image of God. To spend an eternity somewhere when this life is over. And that system of the faith, that scheme of redemption, that idea that we call Christianity was delivered for me, as well as being delivered for you. Does it make any difference what our background is? The gospel is for all, as we sing and as we see in Romans 1 and verse 16. The grace of God delivered that plan of salvation, Titus 2 and verse 11, and he says it's appeared to all men. In other words, it's made available to all men. Tonight, isn't it wonderful to be able to believe that the gospel has the power to save everybody? And whether we go to Russia or Guyana or just down the street, that we have something which is for all. Sometimes when we go out to serve people and help people in a physical way, we may have to take different things to different people. They may have different needs. But when we go out, spiritually speaking, to try to bring people to Jesus Christ, we take the same thing to all. There may be difference in the means of presenting it, as Paul said, becoming all things to all men to win some, by all ways. But as far as what is delivered and what we have, it is delivered to all. And if I go just to my neighbor to teach about Christ, I take the system of the faith. If I go to another country, I'm taking the faith, that which describes the faith, because it was delivered for all. The ground is level at the foot of the cross. You've heard that statement many times. And that statement comes from an idea presented in passages like Galatians 3:28. Doesn't make any difference whether you're a Jew or a Gentile. Doesn't matter whether you're a man or a woman. Really doesn't matter in the true sense of the word whether you're in prison or out of prison. The gospel is for all. It was once delivered for everybody. That's a comforting thought, especially to those of us who preach. Can you imagine what it would be like if we had to use our own talents, our own intelligence, to try to figure out what to take to certain people to try to help them spiritually speaking? Can you begin to imagine what it would be like if tomorrow I wanted to go to talk to two different people about Christ and I had to sit down and decide, now, what do I take to this person and what do I take to this person? But I don't have to do that. Because the gospel plan of salvation, the scheme of redemption, the faith, was delivered for all. One of the problems that's associated with the many different versions of the Bible is that sometimes we don't recognize what somebody else is reading. I don't believe there is a perfect version. Some may be better than others. Each one may be helpful to us. But back when I was growing up as a boy, everybody in the congregation used the same version of the Bible. And not only that, but all the denominations in the county used the same version of the Bible. And if you read the Bible or quoted the Bible, everybody knew you were quoting God's Word. Perhaps we need to study more to recognize it from every angle. But it is the same word for everybody, the same system for everybody. It was delivered to all. But then there is that key word here, once. It's amazing how powerful a little word can be. Sometimes a two-letter word, three-letter word, four-letter word, God's word, carries with it so much impact. Listen to some other passages where it is used. Romans 6:10, "For in that he died unto sin once." Hebrews 7:27, talking about Christ, "Who needeth not daily as those high priests to offer up sacrifice, first for his own sins and then for the people. For this he did once when he offered himself." Hebrews 10:10, "By the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all." Let your mind wander back to the Old Testament times, when they had to offer sacrifices for their sins again and again and again, even for the same sins. We usually describe that as rolling their sins forward a year at a time. Perhaps it is more scriptural to say they remembered their sins again. But however you talk about it, they had to offer these sacrifices again, and a few days later another sacrifice, and a few days later another sacrifice. but not in the system of the faith. Under the old law, yes, the new law, no. Once. Christ died once for our sins. And in that one death on the cross, he took care of everything that had happened before that needed the power of his blood, and everything that would happen after that that needed the power of his blood. He died once for all. What is the significance of that? First of all, it carries with it the significance that there will be no new revelation. There will be no additional sacrifice given for our sins. It's not uncommon today to turn on the television and listen to someone say, "The Holy Spirit spoke to me and gave me this revelation." And you'll listen to some say that the Bible is not enough. We need this other book to go with it and to go alongside it so that we'll know the complete will of God. Jude 3, Jude said, "What I'm writing to you, that's so important that I'm not talking about the common salvation, but talking about the faith." He said it was once delivered. Once delivered. You can know. No matter who it is that's talking, when a man claims that he has a direct revelation, an additional revelation from God, that he doesn't know what he's talking about. And to me, that is a very comforting thing. Because I do not have to wonder if between now and next week, when we assemble again on the Lord's Day, will there be something new to talk about? I know there will not be any new revelation. There may be a new problem. There may be a new need. But there will not be a new revelation. In fact, Paul put it this way in Galatians 1:8-9. He said, "If I or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel than that I've preached and you've received, let him be accursed." There is no new revelation. It was once for all delivered. That means that it is complete. And 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17 says that inspired scripture, which is profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction in righteousness, will make us complete. Some versions use the word perfect to mean complete there. Will furnish us unto all good works. Don't need anything else. Even if the customs change from time to time, the principles that are involved in this book have not changed and will not change. It is complete. It will tell us what we need to teach doctrine. It will show us where we are wrong, reproof. It will show us how to correct those wrongs, correction, and then how to live right by instruction in righteousness. What more do we need? We don't need anything else. And that once for all delivered also suggests that God's revelation is the final word of the matter. Jesus said in Matthew 24:35, "Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away." John 12:48, "He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my word hath one that judgeth him in the last day. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day." The word that he spoke while he was here on earth is going to last to the judgment day. Nothing else is coming. And when he says it was once for all delivered, that's what he means. And I think you can begin to see why this was so important. If there's nothing else coming except this system that he calls the faith, then it must be understood. It must be appreciated. And it must be applied. Once for all delivered. There are three things for which we can be thankful tonight. Number one, it's been delivered. We have it. Number two, it is for all, you and me. I don't care who you are, what your background is, what type of person you are, what your specific needs in life are. Your specific need for salvation comes through understanding the faith which was once delivered. And number three, it was once delivered. When Jesus died on the cross and made it possible for the facts to be real, for the purpose of God to become a reality, and when the Bible was inspired by God through some 40 different men, especially in the New Testament, some 8 or 9 men to write what was there and to bring it together to where we could have it today, we have given to us once for all everything that we need to live an abundant life here and an eternal life yonder. Jude said, I wanted to talk to you about the common salvation because every one of us needs to be saved. I really diligently wanted to talk to you about it. But I came to realize, in order to put that in focus, that I needed to turn around and write to you about the faith, the overall system that includes that salvation, and help you to understand that it was once for all delivered unto the saints. Really, what we're saying tonight can be summed up in this way, and what we've tried to put together in these 4 lessons. When we take this, we have the inspired word, the revealed word, the complete word, the final word, and the exact word. We don't have to wonder about what God wants us to do. We need to become Christians. We have the exact plan of salvation, just like it's been down through the years. Hear it, believe it, repent, confess, be baptized for the remission of sins. And before you call somebody a 5-stepper, remember that God's the one that put those 5 steps there. We have the same message tonight, that we need to repent of our sins when we go astray, confess them to one another, and pray for one another that we might be forgiven. It is exact. And emphasis is placed upon the idea when we do that, God will forgive. We need to understand that the faith which was once delivered is based upon the inspired, the revealed, the complete, the final, and the exact Word of God. Thank God for it and for the wonderful promises that are in it. And if you have not obeyed the commandments to obtain those promises, come tonight as together we stand and sing.